It's been a good Sunday. My name is Michael. For those of you who don't know me, I'm one of the pastors in the house here. And I am also only married to one wife, because some people ask, are the other pastors married to two wives? Why is Impele always mentioning that? But I am married to my beautiful wife, Crystal Hiddenskog, and I have the privilege of preaching this morning. But if you don't know, we are in a series for the year. We are building our lives. Build my life, and you'll see it in the courtyard. But we want to build our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We want to build our lives with the Word as our guide, but also a lamp unto our feet. And we want to build our lives with everything with eternity in mind. And I want to encourage you this morning, if there's one thing that you get from this morning, it's this. When it comes to building, eternity matters. When it comes to building our lives, eternity matters. If you aren't building according to the kingdom of God, then I promise you, you're not building at all. And when it comes to the kingdom of God, we always need to have eternity in mind. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to get stuck in this morning. Lord, we just thank you for your presence here. We thank you for each and every life who decided to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ this morning, Lord. We thank you that our hearts will be seasoned this morning with your word. But I pray that you place eternity deep inside of our hearts this morning, Jesus. Unsettle our foundations, which are not built on you. Show us your face, Lord. Show us how we need to build based on your word, based on your spirit, based on the spirit of truth, and based on your power, Lord. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen and amen. I have only been in charge of one building project in my entire life, and it's been at the church. And you can guess, I've never been in charge of another building project since. But we purchased the Century City facility around 2 years ago, almost 2 years, and we had to soundproof the facility. And Mark knows where the story is going to go. But what that entails is we have to build these panels, and we have to place them on the wall, and we have to put foam inside of these wooden structures and place fabric around it so that all the sound is absorbed. And I was in charge of this project. You can see the problem number one there. I've never built a thing in my life. These are loving hands, not building hands. Come on. There we go. I got a wife in church, everybody. Come on. Praise the Lord. But I was in charge of this, so I did some research. I got what I thought was the right wood. I got the right fabric. I got the best prices. I got a deal. I got 3 quotes. I did all the research. So when it came to a week and a half before the time we needed to move into the facility, I had to build these things. I got a team around. I didn't know how to work the saws and all the things that go into it, but I knew what to do. I knew what to do. And so we're starting to build these rectangular objects, structures, frames out of wood, and they're around 3 meters wide and 2 meters high, and they're becoming quite large. And then I already saw a problem here, but also I decided that we're going to get thin wood, because thin wood is lighter and we can place it on the wall. Now, we had to stretch fabric around it, and for all those who build or do a little bit of DIY, I can see you nodding and you're seeing the problem already. As soon as we put that fabric around those structures, the wood started to look more like an abstract art piece from a UCT art student, or that rectangle that your five-year-old draws and you have to kind of squint to see whether it's a rectangle at all. And I realized quickly, I had no clue what I was doing. All of a sudden, amen, there we go. All of a sudden, someone arrives and they have expertise. They have the right materials. And they built the 12 frames in half a day when it took us 2 days to figure out that we were doing it wrong. But what I learned from that is that building with the right materials matters. My mother taught me from a very early age, goedkoop is duurkoop. For all the Afrikaans people in the room. But I realize that building with the right materials is really important. But our lives are also building projects. And just as we build in our lives, we need to place the right materials in the ground for eternity. We need to place the right materials in our marriage, in our finances, in our businesses, in our relationships, in our families, because that's what will stand the test of time. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 to 15. It's going to come up on the screen behind me. But it says this: for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let's just stop right there. Jesus Christ is our foundation. If you're building without Jesus Christ at the center of your life, I promise you, you are building on a shaky foundation, which will not last. If anyone builds the foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So a couple of things here. First, the foundation is Jesus Christ. But the second is, if you aren't building with eternity in mind, you aren't building according to God's kingdom. If you don't have eternity in mind, if you're not actually taking the grace that you have received through Jesus Christ and taking the inheritance that you have received and living from that place, I promise you, you're not building according to God's kingdom. You cannot try and follow Jesus Christ by building your own kingdom instead of his. See, by building with eternity in mind, you are building God's kingdom here on earth. You are gathering people around you, and you're putting foundations in the soil, and you're putting bricks in the soil that will last when he comes back, that will last when that refining moment comes. And you are declaring that you are going to build on the grace of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. See, the gospel is clear. We don't simply live for eternity one day. We live from eternity now. We live from what we have been given. We live from the inheritance that we have been given, that you have been given the Holy Spirit living inside of you, that you have been given free grace, even though you do not deserve it, that you have been bought at a price and you've been purchased by his blood. That is what the gospel says. And we walk from that place, not just for that place. We have everything in Christ. But there are too many believers, I believe, that who are making decisions and who are living lives that don't make sense in light of eternity. The way we build our marriages needs to make sense in light of eternity. The way we trust God in sickness and in the valley moments in our life needs to make sense in light of eternity. And so there is a story in the Bible which is close to my heart, and it's the story of Esau and the bowl of stew. And it's going to come up behind me, but I just want to take a quick look at this story and say 3 points. But I believe that God is showing us something about how to build our lives in eternity that will last, not just for ourselves, not just for our families, but for future generations, so that they can encounter the grace of Jesus Christ. He is your foundation, and he wants to know that he is the builder. So the Bible describes Esau as a tall man. He was a strong man. He was a warrior. And if you're struggling to picture him, just think about me. There we go. No, I'm joking. The only thing there is that Esau was also a redhead. So we already know we can't trust him. There we go. I don't know if you know any redhead preachers or anyone like Liverpool supporters, all of them. There we go. But it says this in Genesis 25. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I am famished." That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright. Sell me your inheritance. Look, I'm about to die. What good is a birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew, not even meat. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Some things that we need to note. Being the firstborn was a really big deal in those days. Being the firstborn means that you had the best share of the inheritance if your dad passed away, or if he left, or if he was absent for any amount of time, and you would become the leader of your family. But you would get the best share of the inheritance. So when Jacob is asking Esau to sell his birthright, he is asking Esau to give him the best share of the inheritance, because Esau is the firstborn. But I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, sometimes I think to myself, the Bible is wild. There was a guy who sold his entire inheritance, not for a pot of stew, not for a whole meal, just for a bowl of stew. I was a teenage boy, and there were some days when I came back to my parents and I said, I am hungry, I'm about to die. And all the parents with teenagers know what I'm saying. You look at a loaf of bread, before you know it, it's gone. It's just gone in an instant. You need the multiplication of the 4,000 every day in your house. There we go. But Esau was willing to sell his entire inheritance for a bowl of stew. And there's three things that I believe that we can learn from Esau today. It's first, that we need to build lives in eternity by trusting God. Esau knew God. He knew that God provided for Abraham, provided for his father Isaac, but Esau did not believe that God would provide for him in that moment. He was a hunter, he was a skillful man, so he had become accustomed to providing for himself. He would hunt and he would bring it back to his family. He was the provider. But when he was so famished, when he was on the brink of starvation, he came back and I assume he would have smelt the stew, he would have smelt Jacob putting the spices in, the chakalaka, all those things, and he would have smelt this delicious and enticing aroma. But the challenge to Esau's heart in that moment is that he knew that he wouldn't die. He was in God's hands. He was part of God's chosen people. God had an inheritance for him, had a plan for his life, had a future for his life, as he does for each and every one of us today. He knew he wouldn't die, but he was willing to give his inheritance, the thing that God had promised him, for a simple bowl of stew. And you may be thinking, that's not me today. But I promise you, every time that you give up the word of God, you give up God's ways, his will in your life for other things in this world, you're giving up your inheritance for a bowl of stew. See, God did not provide the bowl of stew for Esau in that moment. God did not provide that. And often the most enticing things in this world will not be provided by God, because it takes us away from him and his plan for us. It distracts us and detracts from our future and his purpose and his plan for our lives. Beware of the bowl of stew. But Esau didn't just stop trusting God in a weak moment. I believe that Esau probably would have stopped trusting God over a period of time. See, trusting God doesn't just happen in a day or happen by coming to church on a Sunday. Trusting God comes by having the word of God inside of our hearts and by trusting him in the valley moments or on the mountaintop moments when you have nothing in your bank account or when you have a lot in your bank account. Trusting God comes over time. But I believe that Esau stopped trusting God. Why? Because he stopped trusting God for his daily provision. Do you trust God for your daily provision? Because if you trust God for your daily provision, I promise you that you are building with eternity in mind. That when those valley moments come, you know who God is for you because you've seen God's hand work in your life. That when those trials and tribulations come, when that sickness comes, you know that God can save you, that he will save you. But even if he does not, you will praise him. And that's by putting bricks in the ground. I am going to trust him in each and every moment of my life. Not just for me, but for my family, for my children, for my grandchildren. Every decision you make is a decision to honor and trust God. It's not just the big decisions in your life. It's not like a matrix moment, the red pill or the blue pill. Every action, every belief, every thought, the way you treat your spouse is the decision to trust and honor God. The way you treat your spouse shows whether you are trusting God's word. Are you laying your life down for your spouse? Because that's what the Bible says. The way you treat others, do you harbor offense in your heart or do you forgive your brother 70 times, seven times? That's 490 times. I don't know about you, but I've never forgiven someone 490 times in my life. But we shouldn't even get to that point. Because we should have forgiveness so deep inside of our hearts because we put a brick in the ground that we're building with eternity in mind. See, the way you conduct your business practices, are you paying your taxes because the word says give to Caesar what is Caesar's? Or are you trying to just do a deal on the side that gets you a little more income? By tithing in plenty and in lack, because then you must place your trust in God because your provision isn't in your hands, it's in his hands. See, the bowl of stew comes and you cannot trust God but not read his word. Because the word is a lamp unto our feet and shows us the character of God. So if you're not reading his word, I don't know what you're trusting in, sir or ma'am, because then you don't know God. And when those times come, when that bowl of stew looks tempting and enticing, you need the word of God to hold you because you've placed a brick in the ground with eternity in mind. What are you building that will last? See, the enemy is clever and he is a deceiver. The name Jacob actually means the deceiver. But when Jesus was in the desert fasting for 40 days, the enemy came, and what did he say to him? If you are the Son of Man, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus then goes on in John to say, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never thirst and shall never hungry. And so we know that the enemy will come to deceive and accuse. But if you are feasting on the word, if you are putting bricks in the ground, he cannot deceive you because you know who your God is. And when that bowl of stew comes, you know that the word of God is deep inside of your heart, and you know that he will never forsake you, that he will never leave you, that the promises of God will come true. Why? Because you put brick by brick by brick in eternity. Brick, trusting him when you don't see him. Brick, trusting him when you don't feel him. Brick, trusting him when you are struggling to believe in him. Brick, trusting him when you are fearful. Brick, trusting him when you are doubting. You're placing brick by brick in eternity. The second point that we can learn is that we need to build with eternal things. It says this in verse 34, then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. He didn't even say thank you. What a brother. But before he knew it, the bowl of stew was gone. And what is that bowl of stew for you? What is distracting you from the things of God in your life? What is detracting from your future where you need to place your trust in God once again? See, when we satisfy short-term appetites, we forget about Jesus' eternal sacrifice. I'm going to say that again. When we satisfy short-term appetites, we forget about Jesus' eternal sacrifice. See, by centering your life based on him, that he is your foundation, you are constructing a framework for his blessing, for his favor, for his life-giving power in your life. But I believe that there are marriages here today who have stopped building with eternity in mind, opting instead for materials that will not last, for your own strategies, your own way of doing things. But he's calling you again to trust in his word, to trust in his ways, to trust in his will for your life, to build on that foundation. And the risk is that before you know it, you're going to be presented with a bowl of stew. And it's in those moments, those tough moments in your life, that that bowl of stew looks the most enticing. It's in those moments when there's no one around you and it's late at night and that pornography is calling and that bowl of stew looks the most enticing, and it will detract from your future. It will distract you from the things of God and will only lead to chaos and death, because this is what it led to for Esau. He lost his entire birthright, and he didn't just do this once. He did it twice in the Bible. I don't know about you, but the Bible is wild. I think, how can this man do it twice? Because Esau is wild. But the temptation then is to blame everyone else. It's to blame the bowl of stew. It was his fault. And the bowl of stew is just giving you the silent treatment in the corner. Good joke, good joke. There we go. But the temptation is to blame everyone else. But you haven't put bricks that will last. When the enemy comes, when the tempter comes, when the deceiver comes. See, Esau was famished. He was starved. But he just wasn't physically starved. He also was spiritually starved because he stopped trusting in God. He stopped following his ways. He stopped standing on his promises. You've been starving yourself of God's word, presence, and spirit. And before you know it, you will be famished spiritually. And I know this because it was my story for a period of time in my life. And you can put that graphic up of the bowl of stew. But I remember it probably about 3 years ago. I wasn't reading God's word as consistently as I should have. I was frustrated in my daily life. I was questioning things about my future and plans. And then I just got this word from God, and I felt the story about the Esau and the Baal stew just come in my spirit. But I remember God saying this to me. He said, "Why do you treat my word as a snack when you're supposed to feast on my word? And you're expecting to be filled, and you're expecting for your hunger to be filled, but you're acting like you are starved." And I remember just my spirit being unsettled. And then my wife made this graphic for me to remind me that every day I get a choice to live with eternity in mind. Every day I get a choice to accept my inheritance that I have been given to me through Jesus Christ. I accept the grace that is given to me. I accept the power of the Holy Spirit that is given to me. I accept all these things in the heavenly realms. And I know that I have a plan and a purpose for my life. Why? Because I am the Father's hands and that He has a plan and a purpose for my life. And I remind myself that I need to be filled with the things of God. Because if we don't fill ourselves with spiritual things, we will be filled with other things. We will be filled with other things that take our time and our energy, but won't be there to sustain you when the trouble or the affliction or the tribulation or the temptation comes. So, man, see, there are too many Christians walking around filled with opinions, filled with offense, with full bank accounts, but with empty hearts because they haven't built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Those things will not last. You cannot take those things to eternity. And they can even be good things that God has given you. They can be your family or your marriage. And those are good things when you build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. But if that becomes your center, Sir Ma'am, I promise you that won't last in eternity. He wants your foundation to be Him. And I remember that in the beginning of the year, we went to a church planting conference, and there was this pastor from America called Rick Bezett. And he said this incredible thing that I will never forget. He said, "Maturity and growth is not about being in church for 20 years. Because you can be in church for 20 years, but just repeat the same year 20 times. You can repeat the same year 20 times, never growing, never becoming more like Jesus, and your foundation is shaky." Why? Because you haven't allowed the word of God to get deep inside of your heart because you're not building with eternal things, so man. Eternity matters. Watch out for the Esau syndrome. Trading away God's eternal gifts for short-term delights. Do not fool yourselves with things that do not sustain. Point number three, because we're running out of time. We build by knowing our inheritance. And I'm going to ask Walt to come up for the keys. You can't build God's kingdom while building your own. It means that we have to lay down our lives. That daily we need to take up our cross and follow Him. Jesus doesn't want fans, He wants followers. And we follow Him by getting the Word of God deep inside of our hearts. We follow Him by knowing His will and His way for our lives. We follow Him by laying our own desires, our own wants, our own needs, and saying, "Jesus, I'm going to choose to follow You. I'm going to choose to trust You, and that You have a plan and a purpose, that You are building my life, that You are building the lives of people around me. You are building Your church. You are building this city. You are building this nation. I choose to follow You." He doesn't just want fans, He wants followers. And see, when you build your life with eternal things, you're not only building yourself up, you're building up others around you. Because it means that Jesus can be a blessing through your life, that your foundation is secure, that when others' marriages are in trouble, you can point to the One who brings hope, who brings restoration, and brings redemption because you've put eternal bricks in the soil that will last when the enemy comes. And I promise you, it may cost you in this life, but it's worth everything in eternity. We don't just live for the year or now, church. We live for one day when we're going to be with our Father in heaven, and we live from that place. That He has purchased you, He has redeemed you, He has made you whole. And the tragedy of the story is that Esau takes the bowl of stew, then later he's deceived out of his inheritance, and there's a family in tatters. God would have wanted to build with both of them for His kingdom, but there's a kingdom divided here. And the descendants of Esau, the nation of Edom, we don't know who they are today because they did not stand, because they chose to sell their inheritance rather than trusting in the promises of God. It will always lead to chaos and death if you do not build your foundation on Jesus Christ, church. I promise you that. I've tried. I've failed. I don't have the expertise to build my own life, but I know one who does, and his name is Jesus Christ. You can trust him in all of his ways. He is good. He is faithful. His love endures forever. But maybe you're asking the same question today. What good is my birthright to me, as Esau did? Look, I'm about to die. And you may be asking, what good is my inheritance when I cannot provide food for my family? What good is this inheritance if I don't have a partner and I am consumed by loneliness at night? What good is this inheritance if I am overcome with anxiety and depression? What good is this inheritance if I am trapped in a cycle of addiction and sin? What good is this inheritance if my marriage is in tatters? And I promise you that this inheritance matters. Why? Because it is eternal and it will last forever. Jesus Christ says this in Ephesians 1. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, all things to those who love him, so that we who were the first hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, when you heard the word of truth and it got deep inside of your hearts, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. He has given you one who lives inside of you, who reigns above you, who goes before you, who will hold you in those times. It's just brick by brick of eternal things in the ground. This is what it means, eternity with your Father in heaven. Being with the Father in eternity becomes more pleasing than anything in this world. He has given us a new life. He has adopted us into God's family. He has set you free from the power of sin and death. He has pronounced you innocent in his eyes. He has given you the power of the Holy Spirit. He has redeemed you. He has restored you. He gives you hope. He gives you freedom. And he is transforming you right now into the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ, because he is your builder. He's just asking you to put eternal bricks in the soil. Can I ask us to stand? The unsettling thing about Esau, it says in Hebrews 12 that Esau tried to claim his inheritance back with tears in his eyes, but his heart was so hard he could not repent. And I believe that maybe there's some here who have been trying to do life by your own steam, on your own steam, by your own merits, by your own abilities. And there's marriages which needs God's life and grace right now in this room. And all he is calling you to do is to turn away from your own way of living, to stop building your own kingdom and turn towards him and saying that he is enough, that he is your foundation, that his spirit lives inside of you, that he is your redemption, he is your hope, he is your freedom. And right now, if that's you and you're saying, I want to make Jesus Christ the foundation of my life because there is no other. I cannot place any bricks in the ground that do not come from him. Right now, will you just lift your hand to him as a posture of surrender that you are going to build with eternity in mind? And I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you are unsettling hearts, that you know our hearts, you know our minds, you know our thoughts, that where we have been building with things that are not of you, that are not of your kingdom, you will unsettle us right now, Lord. That we come to you in repentance with soft hearts, willing to experience your grace and your favor and your kindness and your goodness, Lord. That we will not be like Esau. We will not be distracted by things of this world. We will not be distracted by earthly things that can give us momentary pleasures, but that we will be compelled to follow you in all of your ways, that we are building our lives on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, on the unshakable foundation which is you. And that as your people today, we are choosing to follow you in all of our ways, in all of our life, Lord, in each and every part. There is no part of our life which we do not offer up to you as a living sacrifice. So right now, Jesus, I pray your spirit pours out in this place. Come upon sons and daughters afresh. Come show us our eternal inheritance. Come show us how good you are, how magnificent you are, that you are the name above all other names, that you are the King seated on your throne, that you have a plan and a purpose for us, that you have chosen us from the beginning of time, that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us, and that you are enough for us in each and every circumstance. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, but we thank you that we have the foundation of Jesus Christ. Amen.